Now in Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Luke 9, 44. Let these sayings come from the one who is the eternal God. Let these sayings sink. Let it sink down into your ears. Let it go into your ear and not out this one, but let it sink down into your heart. Because the word for is the word because. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. I'm entitling the message, The Son of Man Shall Be Delivered. Let these sayings find a lodging place in your heart. Don't let these sayings slip away from your mind's eye. Keep your mind's eye focused on the Son of Man that shall be delivered into the hands of wicked men. We have a similar exhortation found in Hebrews chapter 2. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the marginal reference there, if I remember right, says to run out as a leaking vessel, like a hole in a bucket. You draw water and then it just leaks out. Stop that hole. Don't let the Word of God leak out. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of men. Now, in Matthew chapter 17 and in Mark chapter 9, we have a more complete saying of what the Lord says to His disciples. And here's what it says in those two references. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill Him. And the third day He shall be raised again. Now, you notice what it says there in verse 44 and verse 45. The Son of Man. Now, it doesn't say the Son of God. It says the Son of Man shall be delivered. Verse 45, they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not. They didn't understand it this time. And they feared to ask Him that saying. Now, many times, very many times, and quite often, the Lord refers to Himself as the Son of Man. We've read that many times, haven't we? Matter of fact, many more times than the Lord called Himself the Son of God. Now, He called Himself the Son of God, but many more times He refers to Himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Now, I have one of those computer programs that you can punch a word and then bring it up and it tells you how many times it's used in the Bible, where you don't have to count. In the old Strong Concordance, you used to have to count each one. But I found 85 times from Matthew to Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man. The Son of Man. 85 times. 46 times from Matthew to Revelation, He's called and referred to as the Son of God. Now, almost twice as many, He's called the Son of Man. Now, just in this chapter in Luke 9, you have there Luke 9. He's mentioned four times He calls Himself the Son of Man. Look back at verse 22 of Luke 9. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief scribes, chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. In the same chapter, look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. Again, the verse we just read, verse 44, the Son of Man shall be delivered. And then in the same chapter, verse 56, Luke 9, 56, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, But he came to save them. He came to save them from their sin, and they went to another village. But we've seen this phrase often in our study through the book of Luke. If you will turn back to Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Luke 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. The Son of Man's sake. Again in chapter 7, look over there, verse 33 and 34. John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. So there he is called again the Son of Man. Now, turn to Luke 19. You don't mind turning these scriptures, do you? Luke 19. Luke 19, look at verse 10. And this is a very familiar scripture here. The Lord said to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to your house, for as much as he also was a son of Abraham. Now he's talking about being a spiritual son of Abraham. Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save, not to seek and to destroy, but to seek and to save. Now, hold your place there and find John chapter 12. Someone asked this question in John chapter 12 when our Lord said, now, in verse 31, is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, talking about being lifted up as our sacrifice for sin, will draw all unto me. Notice the word there, men, has been added, all the elect. This, said he, signifying what death he should die. Now watch this. Verse 34, John 12. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Now, here's the question. Who is this Son of Man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Now, let's see if we can answer that question. Let's see if we can find out who Jesus of Nazareth truly is. In Luke 9, turn back over there, in Luke 9, verse 20, Peter makes this confession when the Lord said, whom say ye that I am? Remember what Peter said? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. You are the anointed Messiah, sent of God. He is the Christ of God. He is the one sent of God. He is anointed prophet to reveal the Father's will unto us. He's the anointed priest to represent us unto God. And he is the anointed king with all power to rule and reign over us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Christ of God. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching there at Pentecost said, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. He is the Christ of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, when many thousands walked away from the Lord, and he said to the 12, will you also go away? You remember what Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ. And then he adds this, the Son of the living God. Who is this Son of Man? He is the living God. He is the Christ of God. He is God the Son, or the Son of God, the only well-beloved begotten Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is one with the Father, and one with the Holy Spirit. These three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Now, right here in our chapter, Luke 9, you remember a few weeks ago, the Father speaks from heaven, verse 35, and He declares, "This is my beloved Son." You see that? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him." So this is the beloved Son of God, or God the Son. Now, stay with me. In our study in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, verse 1 down through verse 3 rather, He is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, He's not made the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God. Now, He was made the Son of Man, a real body, but He's declared to be the Son of God. He's never made to be the Son of God because He is the everlasting, eternal Word of God. Now, stay with me. We see that He is also the eternal Son of God, or God the Son, and yet He is the Son of Man, born of a woman, made under the law. Now, we see this throughout the Scripture, Old Testament and New. He's called the seed of woman, way back in Genesis 3. Now, listen to this Scripture in Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born." A child is born. The Son's given. Now, it's saying two different things. The child was born in Bethlehem. There was a child born. But the Son was given. Who is this Son? He's God the Son. God manifest in the flesh. "A child is born. A son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." This child? The Mighty God, yes, the Everlasting Father, He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. "But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." A child was born. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. Now, did He have His beginning at Bethlehem? His humanity was born then, but He is the eternal God. "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." He took humanity to His deity in one blessed person. The old theologians called the Lord Jesus Christ the God-man mediator. He is totally and fully God and totally and fully man in one person. In one person. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's who this Son of Man, who is this Son of Man? He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the Lord. He took humanity to His deity in one blessed person. He became what He was not, flesh, and dwelt among us, but He always remained what and who He is, the eternal God. Now this is vital to our salvation. "For if He be not God, we have no hope." If He's not a real man manifest in the flesh, again, we have no hope. Now the Apostle Paul put it this way, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Get a hold of that. "Our Lord said, I and my Father, we are one." Philip said, "Show us the Father." And He said, "Philip, have you been with me so long that you haven't seen me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He was made a partaker. I want you to turn to a couple of scripture here. Find the book of Hebrews. Can you do that? The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," His covenant children, Hebrews 2:14, "He Himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil." Now the Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man mediator, He had no taint of sin. He had a real human nature, but not one that was tainted with sin. We read in Hebrews 7, turn over there. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. It says, for such a high priest became us. Now, there's an article on the back of the bulletin you can refer to later. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, who was harmless, who was undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heaven. He had no sin in his humanity. He knew no sin in his humanity, and he did no sin. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. Now turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. He had to have a real body so he could be our sacrificial lamb. And this body was prepared of God. Hebrews 10 verse 4. It is not possible but the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That was a body of a real man with a real human soul with no taint of sin. He's the spotless Lamb of God. Now, a real man, but not just a mere man. The Lord Jesus Christ never stopped being God, and yet he's a real man in one person. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back in Luke chapter 9. We have this right before us here in these two verses. Luke 9, 43 and 44. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God in rebuking the demon spirit and healing this child. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, his disciples said unto him, they all were amazed at the mighty power of God. And then the Lord said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. The Son of Man shall be delivered. Who is he? He's the Almighty God, God eternal, and yet he is or became the Son of Man to represent us unto God. You see, it's who he is that gives eternal value, power, and merit, and everlasting glory to what he accomplished. If he's just a mere man, we have no hope. But thank God, he is God and man in one blessed person. Therefore, everything that he said is absolutely true. Everything he did is absolutely perfect. He accomplished salvation with the sacrifice of himself, shedding his own blood. God bought the church. Now, did he have real human blood? Absolutely. But we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that God bought the church with his own blood. We're bought with a price. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's who he is that gives eternal power and everlasting glory to what he accomplished. What did he accomplish? The salvation of his people. He brought in everlasting righteousness to justify them. He put away their sin. He redeemed them. You know what that word redeem means? Delivered. Delivered up. He redeemed us. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, he had to be both God and man in one person to accomplish our salvation. God to satisfy, man to suffer. You see what it's saying? God to satisfy, man to suffer. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, let's take a look at this saying here in verse 44 of Luke 9. For the Son of Man shall be delivered. Delivered. Delivered into the hands of men. He shall and must. That is, it was absolutely necessary for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of wicked men. Now, this word here, must. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Remember, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, John chapter 3, verse 14. John 3, 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of who? The Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ must lay down his life for his sheep. He must be delivered up for us, delivered up into the hands of wicked men, but more importantly, delivered up to the hands of God's holy justice. Now, find the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, right after John, the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now we read this scripture here. He must be delivered up for us. There's no way that we can be delivered from the wrath to come if he's not delivered up to suffer the wrath of God for us. He must find a way, and that's the wisdom and power and mystery of the gospel of Christ, how God can be just and justify the ungodly. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, there's that Son of Man, approved of God, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered. You see that? By the determinate counsel. That's the foreordination of God. That's the eternal decree of God. God's determinate counsel and foreknowledge, foreordination. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, in the book of Acts again, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And then we'll look at a couple of references in the book of Romans. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 26. Acts 4, 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and they did. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. He is the Christ of God. For of a truth against thy holy child, there's that son is given, child is born, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel, determined before to be done. Jesus Christ and him crucified happened on purpose. God's purpose. Now, find the book of Romans, right over from the book of Acts. The book of Romans. Why was he delivered up? He was delivered up because of our sin was laid upon him. In Romans chapter 4, turn there, Romans chapter 4, look at verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our sin, the sin of God's elect, the sin of God's people. Now, he didn't have no sin of his own, but our sin was laid upon him. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again because he justified us. How did he justify us? Look right across the page, Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, he took my sin, he took my judgment, he took my guilt, he took my wrath, and he set us free. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look there. He is called in Romans 11 the deliverer who shall deliver all of his people. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 32. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, he spared not. He spared not. Justice would not spare the son when our sin was put on him. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. It was not possible that he should be holden of death. You know why? He put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. The only way God can deliver us from the wrath to come is for the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, to endure the wrath of God for us, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. We call that substitution. We call that satisfaction. That's what happened at Calvary. The Son of Man died in the room and in the stead of God's people. And we call that substitution, and we call that satisfaction. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, turn to the book of Galatians. Is He able to deliver us? Yes. Darius the king asked that question. Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He was delivered up for us. Now, turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who is the Son of Man, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Or if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made that curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now, had the Son of Man not been delivered into the hands of God's justice, and God's justice fully being satisfied in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have no salvation. We would have no righteousness. There's no way God can justify us apart from Christ and Him crucified. He suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. Therefore I declare unto you, He is able to deliver us. That's what we have in the story of Daniel. In the lion's den, it's a picture of Christ, our deliverer. There's that law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be altered, that cannot be changed. And when Daniel was found guilty, the guilty one had to go to the lion's den. Who's going to deliver Daniel from the lion's den and satisfy the law of the Medes and Persians? Only God in Christ. And that's exactly how Daniel was delivered. Now, I love what the king says over there. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you again. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear the God of Daniel, for He is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, His dominion shall be unto the end. He delivereth and He rescues. You need a rescuer? Yes. You need a deliverer? Yes. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and the earth, who delivered Daniel from the lion's den and made Daniel to prosper. That's the gospel message in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now give me just a minute. Give me just a minute. Is your God able to deliver thee? If He is the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. If He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to deliver us. He is God, our Savior. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. And He cannot fail to do so. He has delivered us. Now, is He able? Listen to these scriptures. In Romans 4, He's able to perform all that He promised. In Hebrews 7:25, it says He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. In the book of Jude, verse 24, He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of God's glory. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he's able to keep you. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, turn to Romans 7 one more time. I'm almost through. Romans 7. Paul said, oh, I'm a wretched man, the Apostle Paul, Romans 7. You remember? Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, Romans 7:24. Have you got it? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? From this body of sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that your answer? Who's able to deliver you? Well, I'm doing the best I can. That's not good enough. Who's able to deliver you? Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. You're guilty. You're sinful. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only answer. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to deliver us. Now, one more verse. One more verse. Find 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Now the wages of sin is what? Death. 2 Corinthians 1 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth up the dead. Now look at verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and he doth deliver us, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. That's the God whom we worship. He is able to deliver us. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Thank God for Christ and him crucified.